From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Kingdom. This is Locked On Chiefs, and it's another day. We're going to take a look at some of the developments in the aftermath of the loss to the Titans, how they move on, what they can do, a couple of opportunities as well as some updates. And in the second segment, Chris is going to get Dave Drogenmeyer of Locked On Chargers and start talking and turning the page towards this Monday night matchup in Mexico City against the Los Angeles Chargers, a team that is in the hunt again in the newly redefined AFC West that was thought to be the Chiefs a few weeks ago and now is possibly up for grabs thanks to this misstep by your Kansas City Chiefs. There's a lot to talk about there. They're actually practicing in Colorado, the Chargers are, so I may get a chance to see them. We'll talk about that later. But some updates. We did get news from Martinez Rankins himself that he is done for the season. So he will be going to IR. He will not be available. And that's a shame because I felt that he was putting in good work and I thought he was making progress and was giving them another option at guard and even possibly tackle. That's going to be hard to overcome. There is a way that they can do that. And I think it specifically involves Stefon Wisniewski. They have to put him in this game because I think what you've found is Wiley's okay. I think, honestly, Irving is best at guard, and I don't think they're going to put him there because I'm not sure Fish is back. But just from a couple of, I think he played 40 snaps, Wiz did, you could see the difference in just the experience factor. He's not as athletic as those guys are because of his age, but the experience goes a long way. Had the highest pass block grade by PFF of any Chief against the Titans is Stefon Wisniewski. You can't afford with with the ankle, with the knee on Patrick Mahomes to take any chances. So that has to be done. Wiz has to be the starter at left guard. Now, if Laurent Duvernay-Tardif comes back, that may cause a little bit of concern because I still feel that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is the best guard on this roster and should be the starter on the right side. I know my buddy Dan and a couple other folks disagree and feel like Wiley's the way to go there, and I'm just not there. I don't think that he's as sound matchup-wise. He's a little bit more physical, I think, at this point, but either way, if LDT comes back, the natural reaction would be to put Wiley over at left, and I just don't think that's the best option for this team. I want to see them go with LDT and Wiz, and hopefully they can get Eric Fisher back. Now, as we record this late on Tuesday, we don't have any updates, no news in particular about Eric Fisher, so we're going to keep an eye peeled on Wednesday for that, and when we get the initial reports of who's going to practice, we'll have more, and we'll definitely get that out on Twitter. But along the same lines, we don't have an official word on Emmanuel Ogba. A huge loss. We expect that he's going to IR as well. I expect that announcement will probably come on Wednesday. And there are a lot of ways that they can try to compensate, but quite frankly, he's been putting in a lot of good work that is just unable to be completely reproduced by another player. You're going to see Tano Pasanio's reps go up. Hopefully they can get Alex Okafor back, but I'm not counting on that this week. I think it's most likely after the bye. So we're just going to have to wait on that one. So I think what they have to do, and I'm going to put this in the RGR film room that's going to be on YouTube here on Wednesday. I want you guys to check that out and take a visual look at some of this because I think they have to go big. I have to think they have to permanently move. I mean, maybe not permanently, but they have to start Chris Jones out at end. It needs to be Jones and Clark on the edges at defensive end. And you got to start Saunders and Naughty, and they got to play 75% of the snaps. Now, I think Naughty can do that pretty easily. I think Saunders, that might be pushing it. You do have to rotate him, but that means that Pennell's got to be in there. And we talked about what that game plan did to not having him, not playing Saunders enough, not playing Reggie Ragland enough, and what kind of position that put them in. And no, the Chargers are not the Titans. But since they saw the film of the Titans and what the Titans did to the Chiefs, they are going to run Melvin Gordon and Eckler at them all night long. There's just too much percentage in doing that to ignore. And despite what Philip Rivers wants to do and probably what half of their team wants to do, I think Anthony Lynn's going to be smart enough to say, this is what we've done well the last couple of weeks. Gordon actually played pretty well last week. And it's clearly what the Chiefs are susceptible to. Even though we thought they got it turned around, they're proving that it's a week-to-week thing. So I expect a heavy dose of the run from the Chargers because they have some talent there. So the Chiefs have to bow up. They have to get back to what they did that worked. We're going to talk about that in the film room, and we're going to go over that pretty heavily tomorrow We're still looking to get Matt back on the show. He's been delayed because of weather, getting back from Nashville and all that. So we're going to catch up with him. And in a minute, Chris will be back and start talking Chargers and going behind enemy lines. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. You'll get your shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Are you grinding out a tough day at work? Maybe you're still stuck in the office. If you're working hard, you need to refuel and treat yourself to a meal that you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there's over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite, too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants. You might even try something brand new. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first $15 order or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDON. Check out DoorDash today.
And here's our crossover episode with David Drogermeyer from Locked On Chargers. David, how's it going?
Well, could be better, obviously. The Chargers lost in an embarrassing game on Thursday Night Football against the Raiders, a game where they were in position to win, and they squandered that opportunity. The Chargers chartered once again, but what else is new?
I don't know how I should really respond to that after watching what Kansas City did on Sunday against the Titans. We do need to get into this, though. Your team is 4-6. Obviously not the way you wanted your season to go. Lots of things have happened. Lots of injuries that you guys seem to have every single year. Give me a little bit of background on what the Chargers are going through, and are they going to be healthier coming into this game against Kansas City, especially with the 10 days, between games?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, the biggest injury of the players that are actually available is their left tackle, Russell Okung. He went out early against the Raiders with a groin injury, and then after that, the Raiders just feasted. I mean, they just sent guys around the edge, and they just whipped the Chargers' tackles, Trent Scott and Trey Pipkins, their third-round pick, which we still don't understand why he got drafted in the third round, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's the biggest injury. Hopefully, the extra time will give Russell Okung some more time to get healthy. This is a pivotal game. Obviously, I mean, every game on the Chargers schedule going forward is pivotal. But another guy who might, I mean, probably not till after the bye, but they did say Derwin James would travel to Mexico City in this game. So, I mean, I doubt that he's going to play. I don't know if he's quite ready yet, but he is definitely coming. But I think it's a situation that if the Chargers win, then I think they'll probably activate him after the bye. If they lose, they'll probably shelf him for the year.
Well, and you look at Derwin James, that was a big loss for your team. And you talk about Russell Okung, who you lost for a lot of the first part of the season anyway because of his past injuries and whatnot. And now you're sitting in a situation where you have another shuffled offensive line, which seems to happen to your team every single year. How are you guys adjusting to that this year?
Poorly. I mean, the Chargers have been abused. I mean, the stand-ins, Trent Scott was playing left tackle and Sam Devy was playing right tackle for the majority of the year. And they did okay. I mean, and I think that's even being a little generous, honestly. But they were just trying to keep things together until Russell Okung was going to get cleared. Russell came back and played extremely well. And it was very, off-putting when he went out with another injury, but the Chargers, you know, they shot themselves in the foot before the season even started by not going out and getting the help on the offensive line that they needed. And the depth or lack thereof has shown and reared its ugly head this year. It's definitely contributed to several of the Chargers' losses this year.
Well, and I'm glad you bring up the Chargers' losses, because there are a lot of games that they have been really close in. You look at, what, 6 losses all by a single possession? That's a rough way to lose. What have you seen in those losses? Is there anything that sticks out that's kind of consistent in every single game, or is it all just kind of different ways that they find a way to lose?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely a couple underlining things that you've seen in a lot of those losses. A lot of it is the Chargers getting behind and then trying to play catch up and never really having that sense of urgency. I mean, they've only put it together one time. Well, scratch that. They put it together twice, once against the Miami Dolphins, which I don't really even count. And then the last time, the most recent time, against the Green Bay Packers, where they played the best football they have played all year, where they just were firing on all cylinders on offense, defense, and special teams. But, you know, another thing besides getting behind early is the Chargers' inability to stop the opposing teams scoring before halftime and their lack of success in the red zone. Those are two things that the Chargers have struggled mightily with all season long. They've gotten a little bit better recently, but it's definitely a couple of reasons why the Chargers have really lost a lot of these really, really close games.
Well, and one of the things that sticks out to me when it comes to Los Angeles is you're sitting there in a situation where you're playing at a home stadium that holds less than 30,000 people, and you aren't getting fans for your own team to travel to come to that stadium. It seems like every single time you guys have a home game, it appears to be an away game almost. And this isn't going to be any different because they're playing in Mexico City in what is supposed to be a home game for the Chargers, but it's not going to have that feel. So this is something in that sense that should really actually work out well for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Chargers are definitely used to playing away games, even if they are at home. You know, I'm using air quotes here because the Chargers have never had a home field advantage since they moved to Los Angeles. It's just, you know, in LA, they're so far down the totem pole. You know, they're underneath the college teams. They're underneath the basketball teams. I mean, in LA, if you don't win championships, then you're irrelevant. And, you know, even at coming off of a 12-4 season with a playoff win against a really good Ravens team, it meant nothing because they didn't win a championship. So when they travel to Mexico City to play the Chiefs, they might actually be able to get some fans just from being in that market, you know, for a long time. They've been in that Southern California, Mexico market for, you know, 60 years. So you might see some fan support, but they're probably not coming from Los Angeles. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's been, you know, it's been 8 home games the last year, 8 home games the year before, and it's probably going to be, 8 away games last year, 8 away games the year before, and it's probably going to be 8 away games this year too. The Chargers are used to it. I mean, they just block it out and go out and try to play football and win games.
You know, the thing that I find really interesting getting ready to go into this bye week for Kansas City and Los Angeles after this game is they still have to basically play every single team one more time in the division, which I really question the NFL's ability to create a schedule. But another interesting factor going in this game in Mexico City is that you're going to be playing in altitude. That's going to be a significant factor, and that becomes a factor in Denver, but it's going to be a factor in Mexico City as well.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I mean, the air, I think, is actually higher in Mexico City than it is even in Colorado. But the Chargers did travel to Colorado, and they got there today to go ahead and train and practice in the higher elevation so they can try to get their wind and try to acclimate a little bit better. So when they do go to Mexico City, they're going to be more prepared to handle it when the lights are on bright in front of the entire United States on Monday night.
Well, and when you look at this game, what it means for Los Angeles, it's basically do or die, at least in my opinion. Is that kind of how you feel in this regard? It kind of sounded like that with your comments about Derwin James earlier.
Without a doubt, every single game going forward is a must-win game, and it starts with this one. If you don't beat the Chiefs on Monday night, the Chargers are done. Their season, I mean, they're mathematically not done, but their best path to the playoffs is to go through the division, and they have enough games in the division left where they can a little bit control their own destiny. But if you don't win this game on Monday night, it's all over. You might as well just pack things up and prepare for next season. This game is of the utmost importance. The playoffs for the Chargers start on Monday night.
And I have to ask this question real quick. What is your sense of Phillip Rivers and how long he's going to remain in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, didn't really do much talking about a contract extension before the season started. They both said that they were pretty content with their situations and what they thought to, go ahead and worry about it after the season. But I mean, it's hard to not think that because of, Phillip's, so-so performance this year that he might, he might contemplate retirement after the season. Although, I mean, he has gone out publicly and stated on multiple occasions that he wants to play in the new stadium in Los Angeles and SoFi, the stadium they're going to share with the Rams that opens up next year. So, I mean, based off of those comments, I mean, you would expect to see him in a Chargers uniform next year, but a lot can happen between now and then. I mean, if a contract is, consummated here, I think it's really just going to be probably a 2-year deal at max. And, Tom Telesco has done a really good job of building ripcords in. And, regardless of if the Chargers and Phillip Rivers come to an agreement on a new contract, I would suspect that the Chargers are going to be looking at their next quarterback as early as the next draft that we have in 2020. And I wouldn't be surprised if they picked him in the first round.
And when we get back, David is going to ask me questions about Kansas City, and we will be back in just a moment.
All right, we're back here on Crossover Wednesday here with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs. And Chris, I mean, it's been a pretty, up and down year for the Chiefs. How would you assess the Chiefs season up to this point?
It's kind of been a crapshoot. Honestly, you look at what this team has gone through injury-wise, and I know the Chargers have gone through a lot of injuries. Kansas City has usually been pretty good about keeping most of their main guys healthy. But at this point, I think Mitch Holthus was talking on Sunday. I think it was this week or maybe the week before. Kansas City has missed almost 140 quarters of starts from their starters on offense, or 140 quarters of playtime.
Wow.
From their starters on offense this year between Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Eric Fisher, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Andrew Wiley. I mean, you name it, they've been out with injuries, and it's really hurt the continuity of this offense. It's really hurt the ability to make plays, game in, game out. What you see, though, is that Kansas City's offense is still able to score a lot of points and move the ball. Patrick Mahomes, 400 yards this past game, 3 touchdowns, played very well. But at the same time, you're still sitting there going, I don't think we have the full complement of everything there right now. And that's a little scary at the same time for other teams. But it's, it's a little aggravating for Chiefs fans.
Yeah, I bet. But one thing that is definitely not aggravating is being able to watch Patrick Mahomes go out there and do some the amazing things that he is able to do on that football field. How fun is it to be able to watch Patrick Mahomes do those things on a every week basis?
Well, I think one of the things that Kansas City has been missing for years is a quarterback that you could really get behind and really enjoy watching play. And Mahomes is definitely that. He makes plays every single week that just boggle your mind. I mean, he had a pass this week to Mecole Hardman that was basically a jump pass where he threw him open. And I think it was only a 20 or 25 yard throw, but it ended up being like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown. And it was, he basically ran up to as far as he could go. He was getting ready to get hit, and he jumped at the last second and put the ball on the money to Hardman, throwing him open. And Hardman ran it in for a touchdown. It was just an amazing play by Patrick.
Man, Hardman, there's another guy that scares the heck out of me, especially you guys got plenty of speed with Tyreek Hill, and Charger fans definitely don't need any reminding of who that is. But the passing offense, as you mentioned, in year two of Patrick Mahomes is looking pretty similar to year one. I mean, they're third in yards per game with 404.7, fifth in the league in points, which you mentioned scoring 28.4 per game, but they're 24th in the league in rushing. What do you think is keeping the passing offense so successful and the running game not so much?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You're mentioning all those yards that Kansas City is able to get through the air and the points that they've scored. I will say, you look at what Kansas City did when Matt Moore was playing, and they won one game, they lost one game, but they weren't able to move the ball near as well, and they didn't score as many points in those games that Matt Moore played. So that really change some things. But when you start looking at the rushing offense, I mean, they've been out. They've been without Eric Fisher for most of the season. He is a fantastic run blocker, and he's been very good in pass protection. And that's really hurt at left tackle. And then you lose Andrew Wiley to an ankle injury. And then you lose Laurent Duvernay-Tardif to an ankle injury. And the only person that started every played every snap this season at their current position, and I hate saying this, is Austin Ryder. I hate saying it because even Mitch Schwartz, who has been a stalwart, ended up going down with an injury this past game. He ended up coming back in after the halftime, but he missed time, and he had like 7,800 snaps in a row, 7,900 snaps in a row, not missing a snap. And then he goes down with an injury. And the very next play, his replacement tears, I think, his patella or hurts his patella, and he's out for the year now. So they're having some really bad injuries at offensive line. I'm hoping that they're going to get Fisher and LDT back this week. If they don't, they'll get him back right after the bye.
Yeah, so, you know, the Chiefs just recently had a pretty crazy loss to the Titans, but do you think there's a blueprint to what the Titans and the Colts did to the Chiefs, or do you think it was just simply that the Chiefs just blew it?
Well, I think when you look at three of their losses, just off the top of my mind, the big blueprint is keeping the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands and really being able to run the ball. I think that it's, this past week, the defense had looked very good when Matt Moore was quarterback, but it looked like it took a step back this week. They were going up against Derrick Henry. They are dealing with some injuries on their defensive line and ended up losing Emmanuel Ogba during the game, who's been one of their best run defenders, and he's now out for the season with a torn pec. So that really hurts on run defense. And, you know, you miss Chris, you've had Chris Jones miss games. You've had Frank Clark miss games. You've had Alex Okafor miss games. This team has really been depleted. I hope eventually that they're going to start getting healthier after the bye week. The biggest thing is though, you look at what they were doing early in the year, and I think what you saw early in the year is you saw a team that wasn't used to their new defensive coordinator. They weren't used to the system. They weren't trusting what they were seeing, and they weren't playing quick. Now you're starting to see situations where they're trusting what they're seeing. They understand what they're supposed to be doing on defense, and they're doing it. And, you know, you have situations as well where early on in the year, they were stunning and twisting and doing all these different things on the defensive line that just weren't getting home. It was just a half second too late. Well, now they're starting to hit home on some of those. So I think it's a combination of things, and getting used to this new scheme with Steve Spagnuolo. So though I think that will really help them down the stretch.
Speaking of Steve Spagnuolo, how do you think is the defense has been different under Spagnuolo this year than the defenses we've seen from the Chiefs in the past?
Well, up until this week, they had adjusted over the past couple of weeks very well. You know, yeah, they allowed 31 points to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, but it's Aaron Rodgers. And outside of a couple of big plays, I think they played pretty well in that game. And, you know, they did what they wanted to do. And when you are missing your best player in Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be very hard to win that type of game. The next week, they go in and they play Minnesota, and they're playing Minnesota at home. And they basically stopped Dalvin Cook from having a big game. They really took him out of the game plan. He did get 70 yards, but none of those yards were none of those carries and those yards that he got were yards that he got before he was touched. He had 72 yards rushing after he was touched at least once, and he had 71 yards on the day. So they were getting after the runner. They were able to stop him. And yeah, they didn't necessarily bring him down immediately, but when you're still keeping him under 100 yards and he's the best rusher in the NFL this season, you're winning in that regard. And that really helps Kansas City's defense.
So do you envision the Chiefs trying to do what the Raiders did to the Chargers offense, or how do you think the Chiefs are going to try to attack them?
I think that they're going to be going into this game, and I think that they're going to try to slow down the passing game. I do expect that they're going to want to, you know, keep the Chargers from running the ball and keeping it away from Patrick Mahomes. But I do think that they're going to try to really slow down the passing game of Los Angeles and really frustrate Phillip Rivers, which they've done a good job of in the past. And when he gets frustrated, he is not able to be as effective as he is. And you watch what he did against the Raiders on that last drive 0-for-7 with a pick at the very end.
Yeah, that was terrible, trust me, and really bad decisions. But one guy who is actually starting to play really good football, I mean, after, you know, a pretty lengthy holdout is Melvin Gordon. You know, the last game before the Raiders game, he had 20 carries for 80 yards and got in the end zone. This past game against the Raiders, he had over 100 yards rushing for the first time this year. How do you guys think you're going to stop Melvin Gordon, and are you concerned that, you know, Melvin Gordon's starting to get up to speed and he might be able to run all over that Chiefs defense?
Well, I think there's concern that he's going to be able to run on this defense. The real question is are they going to be healthy, and are they going to have their run defenders ready? A big question mark going into this game was why Mike Pinnell was inactive. He was one of their best run stuffers against the Vikings, and he did not play at all. He was inactive for this game against Derrick Henry, and that was a big question mark, and still trying to figure out why exactly that was. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I do expect him to be active, and he's really going to help bring some size and bring some run stopping ability to this Chiefs defensive line.
All right, so finally, do you think the Chargers have a shot in Mexico City on Monday night?
With the way Kansas City played against Tennessee, I'd say anybody has a shot to beat him right now. You know, it's always a test with Los Angeles. It's always a test with any of the teams that really in the AFC West for the most part. But I will say this, Kansas City, Andy Reid is, I think, 23-3 against the AFC West in his time in Kansas City. And he has not lost a game against a division rival that has not been on a Thursday night. So I do feel like they will be ready for this game. And I do also think that they're looking at this game as a must win at this point, because at this point you're sitting there at 6-4 and you can kiss any of a first round bye goodbye. And you're just hoping to win the division with the Raiders close behind. So you've got to win out basically, because you still have a tough game against the Patriots coming up.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a playoff atmosphere for sure on Monday night in Mexico City. I'm hoping to see a really good game. It's an AFC West battle. These AFC West games are always going to be physical, so I'm looking forward to it on Monday night, and we'll see what happens.
What do you think? Who do you think is going to win this game?
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot here, huh? Well, I think the Chargers have to win this game. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's like I mentioned before, the sense of urgency has got to be at an all-time high right now. I mean, the Chargers know that their season is on the line on Monday night, and if they don't get it done, like I mentioned before, they can pack their bags and go ahead and prepare for next year. So I think that sense of urgency is going to make them ultra-focused, and they're going to go out there and try to get a win. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done, but all right. You know, I'm going to say it. Yeah, the Chargers are going to win. It's going to be a high scoring game. Both of these offenses can put up a lot of points. And I think it's going to be a close game because, you know, they all are. I think it's going to be a 34-31 thriller on Monday night in Mexico City. Bolts win.
There you go. I agree it's going to be a high scoring game. I think Kansas City finds a way to get it done, 37-31. With Los Angeles losing at the end of the game, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to come back and give the Chiefs a victory. I expect them to be focused after this humiliating loss to the Titans.
Yeah, let's see who is more embarrassed, the Chiefs or the Chargers on Monday night. No matter what, we know it's going to be a really great game.
Yeah, it will be. Thank you very much, David. I really appreciate it. And that will be it for us. And you all have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.